thy sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, me groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you, man. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again the testimony that's in these songs, these hymns that we sing, and all of them have a message, and I trust again that they have done a part to prepare your heart for the preaching of God's Word, and let's do that next. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark today, and I think I had an outline written down someplace. There's a southern fellow that comes up and preaches. If you listen hard, you can understand every other word or so of what he's saying. And I pulled out this outline from him and said, whoo, that's good stuff. And so I'm going to preach it this morning again. But I won't cough and hack while I'm preaching. But appreciate again that we can have a tremendous book. And again, I've sat under some tremendous preaching this week and just flat get excited about that. You know, your preacher needs to preach too. I try to get out to all these fellowships and conferences, and I need to preach too. I can look around here and say, hey, you need to preach too. And so that's why we gather again, is for the preaching of God's Word. And the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, isn't that something? That's what changes lives. And that's God's plan again. And so, yeah, a lot of churches have drama and rock music and all the other entertainment industry. But listen, it's the foolishness of preaching that changes lives. And I just appreciate being a preacher. And so let's go ahead and look here at Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read a familiar story for you again. And I trust it's familiar to all you. Did I say Luke? Luke chapter 15? Did I say Mark first?
Yeah.
Well, that was another part of the outline. I could have gone with Mark 5, but instead I'm in Luke again. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 15. There's three verses or three references running through my head here. Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame of faith. Mark 5 is a hall of fame of hopelessness. Luke 15 here is a hall of fame for lost things. So we want to look at some lost things here today. And I found this message again invigorating and exciting again to look at, and depressing at the same time. And so, again, it's good to get your toes stepped on. So I might stomp on a few toes here today. But God's Word, again, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we look at its words today, I want to drive some homes about this parable of the lost son. Notice the chapter opens up this way, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now the publicans and sinners are the ones that would hear him. Next verse says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying," okay, and the Pharisees and scribes, they're the group that would not hear him. I'm glowing again here, and I don't know what's going on. So that pushes my button, I guess, and turned my light on in my pocket. Where were we? "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Praise the Lord, he receiveth sinners. I like that. Yeah. And that set Jesus off. And he said, yeah, I do receive sinners. And so then he begins on this illustration. Notice the first one there is, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them," he goes on with the parable. Look at verse 8. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece." He's talking again about lost things. And we want to take our message today out of the third of these parables, starting there in verse 11. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's Holy Writ this parable that's given here of the lost son, or what we had called the prodigal son. Verse 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine, or that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be Mary." Father, praise you and thank you for this accounting. Thank you again, Father, for your son being on this earth and giving stories that anyone could understand. And I thank you that we could understand this one and make application to our lives that would help us live the more for you. I'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. You may be seated as we look again at these parables. Notice the sequence here of the lost things. The first is the lost sheep that's given. And again, that's talking again, and we've used it many a time, about one who is lost, a lost soul. Secondly, the lost coin. And again, and that's again the same picture that man has great value, that every soul has great value to God. You might look around, and again, we see people that we despise. We see people, again, that are got more tattoos than they got brains. We see people that have more that are in the gutters of sin, and we think, you know, look at that. But listen, that's a soul.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ died for that soul. And again, the emphasis here is the importance of people, the importance of a soul, and the fact, again, that there will be some rejoicing. Every one of these included a season of rejoicing when this soul come back. But this lost and prodigal son, again, I've preached it many a time. I've heard it preached to me more so as a teenager throughout my teenage years. Again, and it's often been applied to the fact that, hey, we are lost and we're living in this world and we need to come to the Father. But again, I point out this discrepancy in that accounting is this, that this son already had the same father. And so this is not a story about a lost person as much as it is about a story of a born-again believer that goes off into the world. Now, some maybe you've never heard it emphasized that way. But again, I want to look at it that way here today and understand some things about this accounting that any one of us here in this room, any one of us, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, any one of us could step into this parable and be perfectly fitting in it. I want to emphasize that here this morning. And so as we look at this parable, I want to see again a couple things. First off, I again want to emphasize on the big picture outside is how easy it is to get fixed. it says in the scripture, and I love this verse, that when he came to himself, I hope some of us have come to ourselves here a little bit today. And understand that that's an important place to be, to understand some things about ourselves. And so as we look here again, it was easy for him to come back and be reinstated with his father. But in his mind, it was not an easy thing. In his mind, that was a very big challenging thing. And that's the challenge that stands out here in this. But it was easy, and the father was looking for him, and the whole clan, well, except maybe his younger brother, older brother, the whole clan just rejoiced because he came back at the father's bidding for rejoicing. And so we see the rejoicing theme here. So let's cover a little bit about this son that walked away. First off, understand that there's vices in this world that are attractive. There's vices that are attractive. I like that term, vices, because I have a vice in my workshop. And boy, I tell you, it's got a set of jaws and it's got a crank on it. And you crank that thing down and what's locked in that vise is locked in that vise. And again, there's no getting it out. I have a pair of pliers in my tool pouch that's called vise grips. Okay, and they're called that because they lock on and they will not let go until you actually have to trigger a little thing on the handle in order to get them to let go. Other than that, they are locked on. And so again, understand that term vice and to understand what vices are in this world. I spent 23 years in the military and enjoyed every ounce of it, every bit of it. I do it again, twice over. Well, I guess I couldn't. They passed me over for major and kicked me out. But other than that, I'd do it again, all again. And I'd probably still be in there if they'd still had me. I'd have stayed 30 years. But again, when I was in the military, there's five vices that I found as a Christian and as a preacher in the military. There's five vices that I found that are promoted, well, accepted by the military. And are found promoted in this life. And they're promoted in our society. In fact, New York State's about to pass some more laws that says, hey, let's take this vice. It gets a hold of people and they can't let go and we'll make money off them. A couple of them, again. So our government promotes these vices in order to hold on to sinners and squeeze money out of them. Isn't that an awful thing? That's not the purpose of government, by the way, in the Bible. But again, that's what ours is presently doing, among other things. And so notice what those five vices, and here's how I remember them for my whole military time, that there's WWW, and that does not stand for World Wide Web. That stands for wine, women, and weed. Wine, women, and weed. And then DG, drugs and gambling. And listen, those vices are called vices because they will clamp a hold of your life and they will grip you and bind you and chain you and not let you go. And there's nothing that you can do in your power to let them go or to be free of those things. You are in bondage to them, and that's why we call them vices. And we look down our nose at people that are stuck in vices, but I'd have us know again right here today in this auditorium, any one of us are subject to any one of these five vices. They come into the hearts and lives of born-again, Bible-believing, KJV-thumping Christians, and they destroy life, and they could come into any life that's in this room right here, and they can destroy our lives. And so I want to again put a flag up and say, hey, when you go to a far country, which is not our country, when you go to a far country, there are vices there that grip a hold of a life. Wine, women, and weed. That's booze for some of you again. That's women and adultery and the sexual attractions of this world. And weed, again, is what we used to smoke. We always have a smoke break, okay? Those that got them, played them. And so we'd in the military, we'd have a smoke break, and it was condoned, and it was accepted, and it was almost pushed on you in the military to smoke. In Vietnam, I was drafted when during Vietnam era. In Vietnam, it was promoted with the idea that, hey, you're going to die anyway. You might as well smoke cigarettes. It ain't going to hurt. You're going to die from a bullet. You're not going to die from lung cancer. And so they promote those things. How about drugs? Yeah, they promote drugs. The military turns a blind eye to drug use many times. Now, of late, again, they pretend not to. But again, it's rampant in the military. And then gambling in the military. Again, promoted. And you look at our society now, look at what's going on in our sick, twisted, perverted society today. And even our own government is, again, pushing those five vices. Who's our governor's wife? You don't have a wife. And so again, listen, there was a time that there ain't no political official would get into office unless, again, he had a wife and was stable in his marriage. But boy, look at our twisted and sick society as far as sex and marriage and women. And again, what's going on with the Me Too and everything else that's going on. It is deplorable, again, how sick and twisted our society. How about weed and drugs? Listen, they're promoted. You ever notice that all the studies about secondhand smoke, anyone ever heard any of the reviews about secondhand smoke lately? No. Why not? Because they're trying to get everyone to smoke pot. That's why. And so they don't want the secondhand effects of that to be publicized, else they'll recognize that there's danger in pot smoking. And so they're pushing that. They're trying to legalize it. You could, again, just get high and stoned out of your mind. And again, on pot, because, well, everyone's doing it anyway, we might as well be able to tax it. And so we see our government, again, promoting these vices. I want you to know that this world that we live in, and the prince and the power of the air, has loaded with vices, and they can get involved in your lives. It was illustrated Friday, I think it was, illustrated for us that, you know, that showbread that they put out on the table over here. I got the tabernacle half done. The showbread that they put on the table there in the temple. And when they did that, they'd have to change it. You know why they have to change it? Because of what got there got dirty. No? It's because it fell on the floor. No? Listen, your life will get dirty just by being exposed to this world. Just by being exposed to the elements. And your life will turn moldy unless, again, you're paying attention. And so, again, understand that mold, that dirt, that corruption gets on our lives because we live in a vulgar society. You know the best way to fix that? Read your Bible every day and fight truth decay, okay? And you need to be in your Bible every day. You need to read your Bible every day. We were just reading Sam Gipp's book there. He said, read no less than 10, what does he say, 10 pages a day. Read through your Bible 3 times a year. Now, I read through my Bible twice in a year, and I'm thinking, man alive, and I'm a horrible slow reader. But again, to understand that we need that. We need Bible every day. As much as you eat food every day, you should read your Bible every day. You don't understand how food sends nutrients to every cell in your body. And some of us had sent too many nutrients to the wrong cells. But again, understand that, hey, the same thing happens when you read your Bible. It feeds every cell of your spirit, of your Christian life. And so we need to. Well, I don't understand. I can't read. It doesn't make sense. Read your Bible every day. Okay? We need that. And so that'll help us keep free of these vices. But again, I say that any one of these vices can grab a hold of any one of us. I right now comes to mind 3 preachers that are in jail. 3 preachers. 3 independent, fundamental KJV Baptist preachers that are in jail for distributing child pornography. I think they ought to be in jail. I'd like to have a few licks at them before they went, but again, they ought to be in jail. But I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that, except again, that vice has got a powerful grip on people's lives. I know, again, 3 preachers that are out of the pulpit because of adultery. I know 3 preachers that are out of the pulpit because of drugs. I know 3, all up, this is all upstate New York preachers. I know 3 preachers that are out of the pulpit because of finances and stealing money from the church. It's not a big danger here, probably, but but it happens again. And so again, understand that if the preachers, independent preachers that stand in a pulpit and preach this holy book are falling, what does that leave for a congregation? If the examples are falling into that kind of sin, what does that leave for you and I? Listen, understand that any one of us here could fall into that sin. Any one of us could fall into Luke chapter 15 and be a prodigal son. And I wanted to emphasize that. I could go around here personally and point to everyone in this room and imagine that something come into your life and you just turned bitter on God and you just left. So that's a bad. I mean, some of you have been here for 25 years since the inception of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. But again, I want you to just think about that and imagine, again, that any one of us in this church right here could say that's it. Remember a preacher named Mike Walsh? We had Mike Walsh come and preach. I love Mike Walsh. A recovered a drug addict who became a preacher, got a jail, and just preached the gospel. Powerful, powerful preacher. I still preach some of the notes that he gave that I got from Mike Walsh. What happened to Mike Walsh? Right back into the cesspool.
Yeah.
So again, that's a prodigal son. And listen, any one of us in this room could be prodigal sons. Let's look quickly at some things that happened to this guy and understand how this works. Number one, it's a riotous living. Number two, all of a sudden there's a famine in the land. And listen, it could be that we're just dabbling along, but again, the more we get, the more we want. That's our nature. And so again, there's a famine that rose up in the land. What happened next? Here's this guy. He's got nothing. He's out there in the world. I want you to think for a moment. And again, I can name 5 couples that are not that were in Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We're members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And now, you go home and knock on their door this morning at church time, and they'll be home. They're not in church. They don't care a lick about God. They don't care a lick about any of this. And again, to understand that, hey, this could it has happened over and over again, and I'd be embarrassed even to mention some, and it hurts even to bring some of them up this morning, but again, understand that that could be any one of us.
That's right.
Remember Peter and said, oh, I never do anything like that. And listen, I as a pastor look at those pastors that I just mentioned and say, I would never do anything like that. But when you say that, you're standing on a dangerous ground right there. And understand that this could happen to any one of us. It could happen to your pastor. And so again, going back into this world is an easy step and a very dangerous step. And if we don't stay attuned, again, it could happen to any one of us, any member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. So we're to pray for one another in that regard. And just be mindful, again, that it could happen to any one of us. And so, again, as we look at this, notice again that he went off and he mentioned again the vultures. First off is the vices that's found in the story. Next is the vultures. Notice that the fella ended up working, this Jew ended up working for a fella. And what did his taskmaster give him to do? Hey, Jew boy, go on out there and feed the hogs. Imagine that. Look at the scorn. Look at the ridicule. Look at the laughter that's going on. Because this one who used to be somebody was now a nobody. This one who used to be somebody for Christ was now back into the dirt that God saved him from. And so again, there's vultures out there that enjoy it and like to see the dead carrion and like again to take advantage of that and rub it in our faces. There's still vultures in this world today. They want to take your life. They want to take your testimony. They want to rub it in God's face. And so here's, again, a vulture that took a hold of him. Think of the victims. If you were to fall from your testimony today, you don't fall alone.
Yeah.
You're taking somebody with you. You have neighbors that are watching you. Some of them are hoping you'd quit. And listen, understand this, that there's victims. When you fall, there's victims in this world. There's other people. Here we have the older brother who was jealous and hurt. And again, he saw his little brother go off and take all the inheritance that he had and just wasted. And again, saw him being restored. And listen, that older brother was a victim here in this thing. And if you and I were to fall, if you and I were again go off into a vice and let it cramp onto our soul and our life, again, understand that there's going to be victims. There's going to be people. There's going to be siblings that you have. There's going to be perhaps parents. There's going to be children. There's going to be those that are involved in this. And there's victims involved in your falling. Praise the Lord, you're standing right now and faithful to Him. But boy, again, understand that there's people watching. And there's family watching. There's loved ones watching. There's people that you've given a testimony to and they're watching. And they're, again, expecting you to fall. And so, again, understand that there's going to be victims. When a redwood tree falls in the forest, a redwood being one that stands taller than any other tree, it never falls by itself. It will take several other trees with it. So again, there's going to be victims if we were to become this prodigal son. And then the vexing. I'm sure he did this to make them all V. But there's going to be a vexing. It says of Lot when he moved over and lived next to Sodom so they could be close to the world. It says he vexed his righteous soul. Again, here you've lived in a testimony, you've lifted up the name of Christ, you've been born again, you've accepted Him as your Savior. Listen, if you go back and live in the mire and filth of this world, you will vex your righteous soul. And again, we can think of people who have gone off back into the world and vexed their soul. There's a preacher that Beverly and I, we listen to and we had several of his tapes, and we'd sit and as a family, all of us, sit down around a cassette tape player, and we was all sitting there listening to this preacher, and the whole family was in tears and broke up about the breath of God in her life. I still got that tape someplace. I'm sure of it again. The breath of God in revival. And boy, that preacher, we loved that preacher, and we listened to him. And again, the whole family, all the three Rice boys sitting there again, were impacted by that preacher. But you know, it wasn't too long later that preacher divorced his wife and ran off with the church secretary and fell into sin, split the church wide open. And That had an impact on me. That had an impact on my family. I was embarrassed to even say that we loved that preacher after that. I was embarrassed to say again that he was our favorite preacher. And I mentioned that to a couple of other pastors. I said, you like that guy again after they known what? Listen, he vexed his righteous soul. He had made a name for righteousness. And listen, you have made a name for righteousness. You have named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, when you go off and get tangled in a vice and get back into this world, you are going to vex your righteous soul. And I'd have us understand here again that the prodigal son ended up in a place where finally he came to himself. Sitting up there at Chilai, I do this every time we go up. We've been up there for 27 years again. This was their 28th year. Our son went on the first year, and he came back, our oldest son, Michael, he came back with such a change in his life that we said, hey, we're going to go to Chilai and find out what's going on out there. And so we've been going to Chilai for 27 years. When I first came here, I first pastored down at New Hope, and we took a group of teenagers up for both years that I was there for Chilai. I came up here and again was instated as a pastor in 1998, and we immediately took groups and groups of teenagers up to Chilai. Now listen, it's a place where teenagers, and we've seen so many teens have their lives changed there. I've heard so many testimonies of people that you never thought that it had any effect on them. It was like water running off a duck's back again while they were there. But years later again, what happened up there sunk into their lives. We've seen preachers' daughters saved up there. We've seen again deacons' daughters saved up there. We've seen young people with lives changed up there. And again, as we look at that and understand that, just being up there, I put a list of every teenager that we've ever taken to Chilai. I still try and maintain that list. And boy, that'll break your heart for some of those teenagers. The girls that used to come here, all of them went to Chilai. I just bumped into one of them last year again, and just the rejoicing. But look at their lives again and where they at. Are they in church? Are they serving the Lord? Are they living for the Lord? The list that I go down through of teenagers that we brought to Chilai breaks this preacher's heart. To understand again that there are so many of them that are now prodigal sons. And it is so easy for them to come to their mind, to deal with their own life, and to come to themselves, as it says here, and come back. And listen, I know Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and if some of them were to step into this church this morning and say, I want to get right with the Lord, boy, we have us a service here.
Amen.
There'd be weeping, and there'd be joy, there'd be shouting. But they're out there in the world. And they don't dare come back. As scared as this kid was to come back to dad and to be received of him, listen, that's how scared they are coming back here. You'll probably bump shoulders with some of them this year. And boy, when we come across their paths, I want that we again would be receiving of them. That we would be open to them. That we would show them the love of Christ. And it might be they come to themselves. I digress from my point. My point again here this morning is this, that any one of us in this room could become a prodigal. Any one of us could lose again that relationship we have with the Father right now and go off into the world. And I want us to understand here that it takes some decisions on our part. It takes some awareness. It takes some being awake on our part to say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now remember Peter who said, I'll never do that. And again, understand that you don't want to do that in a haughty way. You want to do that in a humble way and understand, but by the grace of God, I'll not do that. I'm going to pay attention to what I have right now. I'm going to pay attention to the Bible teaching I've had in the past. I'm going to pay attention. I'm not going to let it grow stale. I'm not going to let mold start on it. I'm going to stay and pay attention to God's Word, God's testimony, God's love. I'm going to be careful for my testimony. I'm going to be careful for where I go and what I do and what I say. I'm going to be careful again to live for Christ. And again, I'm going to pull out our church covenant here shortly. And again, understand that, hey, there's some things in that church covenant that it would do all of us good to rehearse a little bit. About abstaining from liquor, about keeping ourselves pure, about again reading God's Word, about teaching and sending God's Word out. Listen, there are some important things that we have as a church have covenanted together to do some things for one another. And I want you to look around here and understand that anyone in this room right here could become a prodigal right now. Member or not, any member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church could become a prodigal. And could go off in bitterness, and the last year here is, oh, no, they just won't come. They don't want to come. Listen, it could happen to any one of us. We could be living the life of this prodigal son. And again, we could all here again name a bunch that have already gone down that route. It is so easy to come back. Boy, let's be mindful of that. Let's pray for that. You know, if we had five prodigal families that I know of, come back to Good Samaritan Baptist Church, we'd double our size just like that. And so again, it can happen. I believe in miracles. If we could restore five prodigal families and add five new born-again families to Good Samaritan Baptist Church, we'd have a 2019 where baptismal waters are stirred and we'd be on shouting ground, praise the Lord. And I'd pray for that. I have prayed for that. And I got to be honest with you to say that your pastor does not expect that. Shame on him. But listen, understand that what we have here is precious. And we need to hold on to it. The testimony that you have and your love of Christ is precious. We need to take careful steps to let's just hold on to that. Father, praise you again and thank you for what we looked at the prodigal son. And I thank you again for the lessons that have been brought to bear on each life that's here and on our own thoughts and our relationship with you and our purpose and our steadfastness to stand for you. I thank you for a church that has testimony and founding members that have stood here for all these years. Father, I pray again that you tug on our hearts anew and fresh, that we'd never leave our first love. And Father, that we'd again just lift you up and have your power in our lives. Thank you again, Father, for the testimony that this church has. And I pray for it anew and afresh and ask again that you'd see our resolve even here this morning. Father, tug on our hearts anew and afresh. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand for an invitation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving.